This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The Alzheimer's Association estimates that there are 5.7 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, and that number is expected to rise as the American population continues to age. Still, we have no treatments that prevent or stop Alzheimer's disease or even slow the progression. My next guest says it's time to address this growing problem by giving Alzheimer's disease its own Manhattan Project. Mark Diamond is professor of neurology and founding director of the Center for Alzheimer's and Neurodegenerative Diseases at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. He recently wrote about his vision for a Manhattan Project approach to Alzheimer's on theconversation.com. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Why single out Alzheimer's disease and why now?
The reason to single out Alzheimer's right now is mainly because of its impact. There are a huge number of patients who are currently suffering from the disease, and they're probably going to be three times as many in the coming years as the population ages.
Wow.
So it's an enormous cost to society right now, and it's going to probably triple by 2050. So if we don't have a way to slow the disease, we're going to be overwhelmed with patients with dementia.
The other reason to attack the problem now is there's a lot of emerging scientific data that is giving us new insights into how the disease likely progresses. And this information actually is cross-disciplinary in the sense that it appears to apply to a number of different neurodegenerative diseases that are also highly significant, not just Alzheimer's. Those would include Parkinson's disease, frontotemporal dementias, and also possibly Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS.
That sounds encouraging, but to date, efforts to develop any sort of either prevention or treatment for Alzheimer's has not met with much success. Why has it been so hard to develop a treatment for this disease?
I think it's a complicated question. There have certainly been billions of dollars spent on clinical trials primarily targeting a protein called amyloid beta, which we know from human genetic studies plays a causal role in initiating the disease. When the human genetics pointed to this protein, amyloid beta, as a proximal cause of the disease, there were a bunch of innovative treatments that were brought forward, and they failed. And part of the reason they failed is the diagnosis was not made correctly initially. And with newer methods, we are now getting way, way better at knowing exactly who has Alzheimer's and who has something that just looks like Alzheimer's. The second thing I would say is that the disease was targeted when it was already quite manifest. In other words, when patients already had mild to moderate dementia. And at that point, it's probably going to be very hard to have a major impact. The third thing, and perhaps the most important thing, is that the amyloid beta protein itself, while it initiates the disease, is probably not the cause of neuronal degeneration. And there's another protein called tau, which accumulates inside neurons. Amyloid beta accumulates outside of neurons. Tau forms what are called neurofibrillary tangles, so the tangles of the plaques and tangles that we hear about for Alzheimer's. This intracellular protein correlates very well with the progression of dementia. The amyloid beta protein does not, interestingly. But now we know that the tau protein is really the cause of neurodegeneration. And moreover, there are some new ideas about how the tau protein changes its shape, moves from cell to cell, through the brain, and actually accounts for the progressive degeneration in the disease. So these therapies against tau are just coming online. They're in many in clinical trials now. And so we're very, very optimistic about that.
Mark Diamond, given what you're saying about progress and understanding what causes the disease, potentially having new treatments in the clinical pipeline, I wonder why you then see the need to invoke the idea of the Manhattan Project.
Sure.
Really, you know, gives people the idea of a huge push, a really concerted effort, and potentially a radically different way of doing research. And the center that you lead, the Center for Alzheimer's and Neurodegenerative Diseases, you actually kind of liken to the Manhattan Project or embodying that. So What's different about it, and why do you think we need that?
I think we need that because human diseases, especially complex diseases like neurodegenerative diseases, cannot be understood from the perspective of a single discipline. So depending on our scientific training and our perspective, we tend to think about, you know, on one end, molecular structure, how proteins change shape. Another perspective would be what goes on inside the cells of the brain. And then a third perspective might be, well, what's happening with the patients and what's it going to take to actually pick out the patients we're going to test a drug in, design the trials. Each of these scientific perspectives is really critical to understanding all the aspects of the disease. And it's not really sufficient to attack a disease by just focusing on only one. And the reason we use the Manhattan Project analogy is that back when that project was initiated, basically a bunch of scientists and physicists were brought into close proximity. They lived together in a small town, in a complex, and they had a singular focus. And I think that there are a few places around the world where I think people are really making an effort to do this, to bring a multidisciplinary approach to solve the problem that involves both everyone from clinicians to structural biologists.
Obviously, a major research push in any area requires funding, and the NIH has tripled its budget specifically for Alzheimer's and dementia research in recent years. Is that enough?
I don't know if it will be enough. It's certainly a huge, huge improvement from where we were. So just a few years ago, the investment in Alzheimer's research was about $500 million a year from the NIH, and it's now getting north of $2 billion. I think one of the challenges is it's hard to create a pipeline of science willy-nilly. It's not like just digging ditches or something. It often takes decades to train people before they can start to make significant contributions. So we will see. I think what's important is that the support is sustained, you know, that it doesn't just come and go. Obviously, it would be wonderful if we had cures in a couple of years. We no longer needed the investment in this disease, but I don't think that's likely. I think we're going to tackle it. It's going to be a process much akin to cancer therapy, where the first effective cancer therapies started in the 60s, and they continued through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and so forth. And we keep getting better and better at treating cancer, but we're still not done with that. And I think that that's likely to be true for these neurodegenerative diseases. We're really looking for the adult diseases now. We're really looking for that first success, you know, evidence that we can actually slow the progression of the disease. And that's going to inspire, I think, be very inspirational for the rest of the field hey, this can really work.
Mark Diamond, as you envision this Manhattan Project approach to Alzheimer's disease, I mean, the Manhattan Project had one really clear goal: create an atomic bomb.
Right.
When you hit that goal, you're done, right? You can disband the project.
Right.
What would be the goal line for a Manhattan Project on Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, I can tell you what our end goal is in the center. We envision a time when a healthy person, as just part of routine medical screening, will get a biochemical test done on their blood or their spinal fluid, where we'll be able to see incipient disease before there's actually neuronal loss. And this is very analogous to how we currently use biochemical tests, say, for blood cholesterol or hemoglobin A1C, which measures incipient diabetes. You can detect biochemical changes that you can then intervene against long before people actually have the consequences of those biochemical changes. And we think the same is true for Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And of course, once you have the test, then you need to be able to intervene. So that's the second goal, is to actually have mechanism-based therapies that will stop the progression of the diseases when they're first detected. And I would say that's sort of when we're done. When we can detect the diseases in healthy people and give an intervention that prevents their ultimate manifestation. It's like we have our blood pressure measured when we see the doctor now. most people, almost everyone, if they have high blood pressure, can take a pill that will prevent them from ever having the consequences of high blood pressure.
So early detection and some sort of treatment.
Correct.
Would you be willing to look into your crystal ball and wager when we might see something like that? When might we see a significant breakthrough in either the detection or the treatment of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, I think you're giving me the rope to hang myself with here.
You're welcome.
I think there are a number of clinical trials at different phases that I think all have promise. So the latest stage trials are actually in phase three. Those are the final stages of a placebo-controlled trial where you know, if that reads out positive, you pretty much are sure that you have something that works. So those could read out within a matter of, you know, single-digit years. There are additional, I think in some ways more exciting trials that are coming in earlier phases. They're in phase one, which are safety tests, and phase two, which are efficacy tests. And those are coming online in the range of 5 to 10 years, because it takes each of those phases takes several years to go through. I'm hopeful that within 5 to 10 years, we are, you know, if I had to bet, I'd say within 5 to 10 years, I would put odds on we will have effective therapies, things that actually slow the trajectory of disease. Now, you'll have to catch me in 10 years and see if I'm right or wrong.
We'll do that. We'll call you back in 10 years. Mark Diamond is professor of neurology, founding director of the Center for Alzheimer's and Neurodegenerative Diseases at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for your interest and your time.
Also, a hat tip to theconversation.com, where you can find Mark Diamond's piece on a new approach to Alzheimer's research.